Terry gets a little duds. No call to Mathiang. Foul line jumper. Mango got it! And a slam power dunk by Harrell.
Get your L's up, Cards fans. You're about to enter the Crunch Zone. Here are Crumb's Revenge,
Mike Lindsay,
and U of L Sheriff 50,
Mark Blankenship.
You are now listening to The Crunch Zone, broadcasting live from the LSU football headquarters. This is Mike Lindsay, also known as Crumb's Revenge, and I'm with
Keith Pointer, Advil Sports Law.
And
hey guys, Drew.
And
TBG.
And we're ready to roll. We got to talk about Marshall. We can talk about Clemson. We got a segment of Dudes Talking. Let's get busy. And time for the game recap. All right, so Marshall. Turns out it was a little bit of a rock fight. A little bit more of a rock fight. What do you think, TBG?
That's kind of what I was worried about, is that it's a night game. They're going to be pumped. You know, I kept trying to tell fans all week, remember how we got up when we were in a lesser conference and a big boy came to town, and this is who we are now. So hats off to – I'd like to say hats off to Marshall, but then they had to hang that cute little sign.
Want to knock their heads off.
Yeah, I wish Bobby would have run up and Cam Newton that sign. Mm-hmm. But, hey, good job, good showing. Another ass whooping.
All right, and real quick, for the sign he's talking about, it was
Bridgewater's ACL's better, is greater than Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, real classy move. So
I mean, we weren't making plane crash jokes. Yeah. And nor would we.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like, why would you say that? Man, I wish we'd run it up on him harder.
Who knows why they do the things that they do? Hey, Drew.
Hey.
What do you think?
Well, I think that West Virginia is the armpit of the United States of America, and anytime I travel east, I stop at the border before I stop at the border and get gas before I go to West Virginia, so I don't have to stop.
Yeah, I accidentally went to West Virginia on my way to Charleston, South Carolina, added about 2 hours to my day.
Yeah, West Virginia is the trailer parks in the side of the mountain that they call cities. I mean, that's typically what I see when I drive through West Virginia, and I'm not real – I guess Marshall – their claim to fame is at least we're not West Virginia. At least we're not WVU. Yep. You know, we're not that ridiculous. But, I mean, that's like we're minimum security prison as opposed to maximum security. I mean, you're still prison.
Great point.
You know, classless in their signs and some of the stuff their fans did, you know, I would have liked for them to really push it in there and get that extra 7 points in the last 15 seconds, run it all the way up. That would have been fun. But ultimately you get out without any injuries, without a bunch of injuries. Yep. To specifically, when I say no injuries, I mean to Lamar Jackson.
Right.
We can do all right with everyone else, but he got out.
Personal super mutant.
Yeah, he got out fairly unscathed. The Heisman talk is still intact. I'm good with it.
Yep. You know, I was real disappointed that they didn't act like they've been there, because Marshall's had a ton of success. A ton of NFL alumni have come through that program. They've got a lot of pride in their program and a lot of support. And it just was weird to me to see them kind of behave poorly from fans to players.
Okay, but I think the fact that we all sat here and nodded our head and agreed with you there, we're aging ourselves. We're dating ourselves. They haven't been worth a damn, and they haven't put anyone out since Byron Leftwich.
Been a while.
Byron Leftwich has been out of the NFL for 5 years.
Right.
And they did have some success in the 90s. I look at Marshall, and I think their football program is U of L's. Had we not had a Tom Jurich, who knows where we are if we don't. You know, it's all about, do you capitalize on the success that you have? Louisville has, Marshall, Houston. Those schools didn't. Look at where they are now.
Well, I think it was pretty clear that they were in desperation mode when the week of the number three team in the nation coming to your stadium and you can't sell the place out. There's only room for 30 butts in that place, 30,000 butts in that place. And I don't know if maybe they gave an early lunch break to the people at the Steel Mill and let them come over for game day, but
they
clearly weren't selling the tickets. And I know Louisville had a good showing there. I don't know what the numbers are. I've been told close to 10 to 11,000, because outside of the main visitor group there, they were scattered all over the stadium. But it was kind of odd to me that a place welcoming in the number three team in the nation couldn't fill that small stadium.
Yeah, day before the game, it was like 1,000 tickets they were still trying to sell, and we were sharing that on Twitter to folks. So like, there's any U of L people changing their mind, wanting to head up.
My biggest pet peeve from watching it on television was the television coverage. I mean, to listen to those guys, the announcers, I'm like, I mean, the stuff they were coming off with was just ridiculous. It's like, I get that you're trying to find a unique and interesting angle to cover a game, but this is going to be a
and
dog walking.
And you're pro CUSA.
Right.
You know,
yeah, right.
Obviously,
right,
they're right. Feeding the, you know, who brings it.
But my word. I mean, you felt like you were watching an old late 80s, early 90s Don Russell broadcast, you know, for Louisville. I mean, it was Homer. It was unbelievable.
The former lineman from Notre Dame, I can't remember his name, he's awful to listen to. I mean, just absolutely horrible. I rewatched the game today and finally just put it on mute and listened to music because my ears don't deserve that a second go around.
Yeah. Ears are bleeding right out of your face.
It was. I understand it's tough, and you know we all know this doing this podcast, and you know you being on the radio that sometimes you can't avoid cliches, but when everything that comes out of your mouth is literally just a football cliche,
yeah,
and it sounded like PFT commenter, like exactly what he makes fun of. But this guy's getting paid to do it, and why am I forced to listen to it?
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head, Mike. I think that network affiliation with that school and that conference had so much more to do with the cheerleading that you heard with the commentary. I think that those guys were really willing a better game than what they saw. And
now, that said, the offensive line in the first quarter worried me a bit.
Yeah,
I mean, we were under pressure more early in that game than we have been since the Charlotte game.
Yeah, which is
but I knew going into
Charlotte and Marshall
are the two teams that have loaded it up and really got after us. I knew going into it because I listened to the play-by-play guy earlier in the week. He had said, you know, the main things we predicate our defense on: pressuring the quarterback and going man coverage. Well, when I heard that, I said, lay the points, right? I mean, because you're not going to cover any of our receivers. But I was a little bit frustrated with the fact that a lot of our guys were getting kind of whipped, it looked like, up there up front.
Well, I think Marshall really threw everything that they had in the tank.
Yeah.
In that first quarter, first and second quarter. And also, I'm pretty sure that Lamar was not playing Lamar's game.
Right.
He was instructed to stay in the pocket.
Yep.
And
yep.
If you go back and watch it, there are plenty of running lanes that open up and holes that open up that he could take off. And had he had the green light to go to the end zone, we would have scored triple digits on Marshall. But he was instructed by his coaching staff to stay in the pocket, be a quarterback with your arm. Let's not risk any injury. Let's not take any unneeded chances. Let's torch these guys because our athletes are so much better than them. And
right.
We're going to frustrate them. To the point where their starting safety ejected himself from the game,
yep,
taking some malicious hits. So I think that was part of the game plan. I think that Lamar Jackson was probably a little bit uncomfortable playing a game that he's not used to playing. He was instructed not to go after those holes that opened up. And I think at the same time, Marshall threw everything they had in the very first quarter.
When I rewatched it, I saw at least six plays where you say, normally Lamar sticks his foot in and he goes on that one.
Absolutely.
And even the one where he danced around, and that was the most Michael Vick illusion I've seen out of him.
Right.
The elusive play where he ducked two guys and then got brought down for the sack. Go back and watch the replay on that. I mean, he had blocking set up downfield where typically Florida State, Syracuse, everyone else we played. I absolutely agree 100% with what Drew said. This was Bobby saying, I don't care. We all know that you can do it. I need you to stay in the pocket because you need to get used to this. You're not going to be able to run wild on Clemson the way that you have been, even on Florida State, because I think Clemson will be the best defense we've played.
Yeah, and I agree with you on that. I was kind of thinking, well, it's practice for Lamar, right, because Clemson plays a lot better fundamental defense. They're going to probably hold him in that area. Two is, if you're going to get hurt running, you're not going to get hurt running on Marshall. You're going to get hurt running on Clemson, like on the game that means the most, a game that needs you to run. You know, we don't need him to run against Marshall. So kind of when I was watching that, I was kind of thinking that too. But the game was still kind of weird. It was like 7-0 after the first quarter, and it was 35-7. You know, I'm just like, oh, of course. I knew we would be on a 70-point pace by watching that first quarter. I mean, it was just crazy kind of how everything happened
in
quickly.
The last 5 minutes of that first half, the last 5 minutes, Louisville scored 21 points.
That's insane.
Yeah.
And it can happen like
21
that.
Points in 5 minutes.
We boomed him.
I went outside to grab a beer and smoke a cigarette, and we were watching through the window, and you know how it gets. This is why I avoid, like, the party deck, because when you're drinking and Louisville football is going on and you're having a watch party, it turns into just a house party with a football game on in the background a lot of times. And this one was starting to go that way, because this was just one of those games where you look at the final score and you go, man, that one really lulled me into watching.
Right.
But I remember put my cigarette out, go back inside, and I look at the scoreboard. I said, what the hell happened while I was outside?
Right.
I was only gone for 5 minutes, guys. You know, how did this happen?
And, you know, it's and then you got the big lead. You went from a 7-0 frustrating first quarter to 52-7. Okay, so, I mean, that happened. That happened. And then of course, they score a few. Lamar comes back in. I mean, you can tell me what you all think. I think totally that was not really that Bobby was worried about losing the game. I think he knew he was going to win the game. But I don't think he wanted any voters or national stories to want to push us down by saying the people that didn't watch the game, who didn't know that he kind of subbed a lot of people out to say, well, they only beat Marshall by 19. You know, like
we had our third string, not our second string in when they were putting points up. That was our third string defenders. I mean – which is also good. They need to get reps.
Mm-hmm.
I can't say for certain, but I think also maybe there were some actions by that second and third string that were in on offense. Bobby saw he didn't like.
Mm-hmm.
And he pulled them out and said, you know, if you're not going to do exactly what I tell you to do, you're going to sit the bench, and I'll put my studs back out there because I'm confident.
You had the opportunity to play. I tried to give it to you, and you guys don't want to pay attention.
Right.
That's absolutely something Bobby would do. I totally believe that.
Did you guys catch the – and I just saw one or two tweets about it, about the one-sided conversation that Todd Grantham was having with the defense there once, you know, I guess it was the second unit or the third unit. Apparently it was adult-themed, I guess.
I can imagine a football coach having an adult-themed conversation.
Fairly intense, and I think that there were some folks from the Marshall side, like, who, you know, had kiddos there that were a little bit less than pleased with that. But I mean, you know, I wouldn't want to, you don't sit next. Yeah, you don't sit next to the bench. You know, with your 6 year old.
Have you ever been to a Bobby Petrino open practice?
Once.
Yeah.
What about his brother, man? Paul is an axe man, dude. Like, he used to terrify me.
Yeah.
I saw him getting Rob McCune's grill one day, and it was like, he's dumb and fearless. And
right.
I don't know how. I do not know how Paul never got punched out in his coaching career. Yeah. I do not know.
Worse than going to a Bobby practice with a kid is taking a kid to a Steve Cragthorpe game, because that was so much worse.
Yeah. Then you get it from 30,000 people.
Right. Said, son, you're just going to have to hear a few bad words.
You're going to learn about bad words and alcoholism today.
We'll keep him out of Commonwealth Stadium.
Oh, my word. Yeah.
So what are the takeaways from this game? You know, like, you know, we won the game. Obviously, you know, we didn't talk about Brandon Radcliffe. You know, he had a real solid game. You know, it's two back-to-back, really delivered. You know, what are some takeaways from this game?
Did you all see the stat of his rushing yards compared to Christian McCaffrey's, Leonard Fournette, Dalvin Cook, and who's the other major guy that I'm leaving out here? Well, he's not that major then. But he's ranked right up there. I mean, it's within the average everything. He's within 50 yards of everything.
I think that Brandon Radcliffe is the key to the offense this season. I think as long as the offensive line is producing holes for him to run and he is productive in the game, Louisville can open up the playbook and do anything that they want to. It opens the door for the play action. Yep. It opens everything. If that offensive line is not doing well, which the offensive line is doing fantastic right now, a couple knucklehead penalties in that Marshall game, but they have not regressed. I did notice a snap infraction. I don't know if y'all saw that or
just
not.
Just for old time's sake.
Yep.
Yeah, just didn't want you to think that we forgot about how to do that. But hopefully they got that out of their system. I think that Brandon Radcliffe is the key to the season, and as long as he is productive, the sky's the limit. Nobody is going to stop this offense.
Well, and I think, you know, everyone wants to key in on Lamar, and rightfully so. His numbers are, you know, video game numbers. It's freakish levels that they don't really see in college football ever. And so what you saw Marshall do, and I think you're going to see a lot of other folks do, they're going to spy a guy right on Jackson, and that's fine because he's capable and obviously willing to hand the ball to Brandon and like, all right, you got me. I'm not going anywhere. But that guy's going like 50 yards that way. So,
right.
You know, that's exciting.
He plays tailback basically like a free safety. I mean, he just runs the ball and he's a missile. He seeks out contact. He drops his shoulder. And if you catch him on the sideline, keep your head up, otherwise you're going to catch one of those thighs, and that's how concussions happen, gentlemen.
Yeah.
I love watching him run because he's so physical, and more times than not when you watch the replay, you know, when you watch it the first time, you don't notice all the little details. But, man, he gets pushed out of bounds far more than he actually gets wrapped up and tackled.
Right.
And I've yet to see a single guy come in and wrap him up and put him on the ground.
Right.
I don't think we've seen that at all.
He can push right through that. And you kind of worry about the Michael Bush broken legs. He was actually pushing through that linebacker on that play, just a weird twist. But that's the kind of power that he runs with.
Yeah
we're not going to bring that up in a year like this.
Yeah, it's the quietest I've ever heard.
I think the
stadium.
Biggest takeaway, though, is that the ones and the main contributors on offense and defense left this game with a victory and uninjured. Yep. I know that probably an injury to London Iacopo. Saw him limp off the field, needed some help. I haven't heard anything.
He left on a cart, and there was no word today. Sorry, not today, because you were going to be hearing this on a different day, but during Bobby's press conference on Monday.
Yeah, the way no he left yet. The field really kind of concerned me. Mm-hmm. And he's a guy that I expected to maybe have a breakout at his position. So hopefully he's okay, and that injury is not as bad as it appeared.
Well, one hit for Clemson, and it looked like Towbridge got a little hurt, but we haven't heard anything
about
him.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. And I'll tell you something that's really fun, you know, talking about how well the offensive line's played, how well we're running the ball. Something to look for the next time you watch a game. Some of you all might not have noticed this. Maybe some of you all are just casual football observers, and, you know, you just enjoy watching it. You don't necessarily know what's going on out there. That's how I watch hockey. It's liberating. It's seriously, it's great being dumb. But watch the blocking downfield. You see our linemen on their giddy-up to get downfield and put their head on somebody.
Right.
You see receivers dragging people down the sidelines. This is the signs that you want to see, because it's not just that it's a good team. When you have guys blocking that hard, and you're talking, I'm not talking about just the line, I'm talking about the receivers, the tight ends. That means they're really bought into this team. That means they're really bought into Lamar. That means they love the guy who has the ball in his hands, no matter if it's Radcliffe, no matter if it's Scott, no matter if it's Lamar. Whoever's got the ball in their hands, let's get them in the end zone.
Ends with precise timing.
Yeah.
You know, with Bobby's details.
Yeah. If look at Cole Hikutini.
Oh, my goodness.
All season long, Cole Hikutini. If he's not hands on the ball, the blocks that he's putting out there, the guy is so football smart. Even if it's not a conventional block, he knows where to be in position just to break the pursuit angles. And,
yep.
And if there's anybody that doesn't need help with pursuit angles, it's Lamar Jackson. In the open field, he's going to crush you with pursuit angles anyway. But when you also have a tight end downfield that is going to get in the way of a defender, even if it's not a conventional block, it's lights out.
Here's a question I have for you. Talking about Lamar Jackson with the pursuit angles and things like that, a friend of mine brought this up the other day, and we were talking about it, and I haven't gone back and rewatched just to try and confirm what he said, but maybe I know you guys are a little bit more in detail than I am with it. What he pointed out to me, and like I said, I haven't confirmed it, is that Lamar Jackson actually runs at the defender. So whereas you think you've got an opportunity to get an angle and try to make some kind of an intercepting play on his pursuit, he runs at you so fast
right.
that you don't have an opportunity to adjust. And then you think, well, here he comes, and then he adjusts, and then you're done.
I kind of touched on this last week, and that's absolutely correct. The way that he runs, and this is why, even if you're not a UofL fan, you're probably not listening to this if you aren't. Weird. But enjoy this guy, because he's so unique and he's so different. Because what he's doing is he knows my hips are over your hips. So what he wants to do is he puts people on skates. He gets them backpedaling. The worst thing you can do in the open field is question it. Once you get – and the first time you see a teammate or yourself get juked out of your cleats, it's in your head, man. And that's when you start seeing guys breaking their fundamentals. They start putting their head down. You cannot put your head down in pursuit of this guy, or he will hurt your feelings and take your soul from you. And you'll be fetching balls for him in the afterlife. Because that's what he does. He just snatches souls from defenders. And you could see it all over the Florida State game. And if you watch the Showtime series last week, you could see it on the sideline. These guys knew we can't stop him. It's Reggie Bush out there.
Right.
There's no correct angle. The only correct angle is four guys in pursuit.
Yep. Right. Right. That's right.
Yep. And he'll still probably – I mean, I'm convinced the guy could juke somebody out in a telephone
booth. You have to gang tackle Lamar Jackson.
Or a lucky guess.
You know, coming up, growing – when you're learning football as a youngster, when you're learning how to tackle and pursuit angles, one of the things that they teach is you watch the hips and you watch the belly button.
Yep.
Anywhere that the hips and the belly button go – that's where the person's going. Well, Lamar, that's
he's
not
Gumby.
True.
He's Gumby.
That is not true. You can watch his hips and his belly button all day long. You're going to miss. Mm-hmm. You are going to miss. And I think the classic example of that is the famous photograph of him jumping over the defender's head.
That doesn't happen if you keep your head up, dummy.
Yeah,
exactly. I mean, seriously, and that's what your coach needs to tell you. Like, you just got clowned. Because
that guy was zeroed in, and you know what? He had the pursuit angle.
Yeah,
he
sure
had him
did.
Tackled.
Until he took his eyes off of him.
But what happened?
Take your eyes off of him, and poof, magic man.
Lamar Jackson is the anomaly to that fundamental, and that's why the country's head is collectively exploding.
Lamar Jackson's the guy that if I'm a high school coach, I would tell my players you are not allowed to watch him play. Because what he does is he takes everything that we're trying to teach you and you know, impress upon you that this is a true team game, that if you don't look out for the guy next to you, he's going to get hurt because of you. Lamar takes that notion and just it's like, yeah, he's a one-man spine breaker. Yeah. It's fun, but if you're a coach, it's got to be a little frustrating because I'm sure all the little tykes in Louisville are trying to be mini Lamar.
Right.
It cracks me up when they say we're trying to simulate Lamar in practice. I'm like, well, you can't fake fast. I mean, you know, it's like you either got a guy that's fast or you don't.
I'm trying to
with his instincts.
Yeah, I'm trying to simulate dating Halle Berry. Like,
yeah. What? And this is Betty Johnson,
right?
Here. She's like, 290 pounds. And
just stop saying that. Just be like, yeah, we don't really know.
All right, folks. Well, we were definitely glad that the Louisville Cardinals pulled off the win in a rock fight. One benefit I thought of the rock fight was certainly coming down off that Florida State high, you know, making sure that they're focused and ready to go for Clemson. I think they probably had a few uncomfortable moments on the field that Bobby will remind them of, and I think that's exactly what we want heading into this next game. Speaking of, let's move to that game of the week.
Game of the week.
All right, so now we're game day veterans. Game day's back. I gotta be honest. I was so like geeked over the first one, and I'm very excited about game day. And maybe it's because we're not hosting, but now I'm like, oh yeah, we've done game day. I mean, I'm so excited about the game, but I have a little bit less excitement as in when we hosted our first one, where I basically couldn't sleep for a week.
Make no mistake, game day is not going to Clemson for Clemson.
That's a Lamar Jackson show. Top five rated. Why not?
Yeah, I mean, he is the show. I mean, and it is the cover of Sports Illustrated, which I have a completely different opinion about all that, but it's the cover of Sports Illustrated. It's all the ESPN college football tweets that you see just randomly on a Wednesday. Yeah. You know, we don't have anything else to really talk about. Oh, I know. Let's count Lamar's touchdowns for the year, you know. Right. And so all of these things that they're doing, Clemson's fine, but raise your hand if you think Clemson has lived up to their preseason billing. Mm. I mean, no one.
Not yet.
Not yet. And they've obviously got motivation this year and for this particular game because they've looked fairly pedestrian. Now, I get it. They're a top five team, but a lot of that, you know, bases on where they left off, you know, where they started at the beginning of the year. If you watch the performances that they've put forth so far this season and you don't start them in the top five, they're not in the top five. And, you know, clearly they're motivated. I get it. But I don't think they're going to be any hungrier than Louisville's going to be. And Louisville does have a marquee win and just a slew of dominating performances that they've left in
their
wake.
And when, you know, Louisville's obviously going to be their marquee win they're going for. You know, with game day, the fans are going to be nuts. It's going to be, you know, it's going to be this Marshall times 100, right? So I'm glad the Marshall game played out as it did because everything that they saw Marshall, except for probably cheap shots. Clemson acts like they've been there. They have been there. They're national runners-up. They're a good football team. It will be straight-up lining up in smash-mouth football, and we don't have to worry about any silly people trying to hurt each other, which I'm excited about. You know, that's going to be a good football game.
Fun activity this week while you're bored. Rearrange the letters Dabo Swinney into like 3,000 more like believable names. It's so easy to do. Last year before we played him, I sat in my office for like 2 hours one day on a conference call just changing the letters around. Yeah. And I seriously had like 30 names that if somebody had said in an email, you have a meeting with this person, I would believe it far more than, hey, you got to go talk to Dabo.
Yeah.
Do y'all know the story of Dabo?
Uh-uh.
That's why I always change my name to Dabo Good the week of the Clemson game on Twitter. His little brother, I'm not sure if he was – I'm not sure of the status of his little brother. I don't know if it was just he slurred words. But, yeah, he'd always try to call him Dat Boy, and it just slurred into Dabo.
Nice.
So there's a little nugget for you. A
little plug for you.
Yeah. I do like Dabo Swinney, though.
I
think he's not only an excellent coach, he seems to be a genuine excellent person, too. I think a lot of what he does off the field – is just as exceptional as what he does on the field.
Mm-hmm.
I almost feel bad about going down there this week and whipping his ass.
It's hard to dislike Clemson, man. They're just really nice. And I have seen thrown around on Twitter from a couple of people, and it's an interesting idea. We'll see how nice they are after we punch them in with a brick.
Right.
And then we'll see their true colors. Of course they're nice to us because, you know, they're 3-0.
Yeah, we're the cute little lapdog that joined the conference.
Oh, yeah, you gave us a little more credibility.
Welcome.
In football.
Here's another treat.
Yeah.
Well, make no mistake, they look at us as the placeholder that Maryland once was. So they try to equate Louisville with Maryland, and we clearly are not Maryland.
Right.
We are not Maryland.
I'm kind of curious, too. Now, the last two games, obviously – you know, year one in ACC was Will Gardner, stalling out. Let's use Reggie Bonifant for a while, then put Gardner back in, and then we still almost win the ball game on the 1 yard line. We spike a ball, waste a play, and then we kind of run a play that gets defended. So that score of the game is like 23-17, I think. And then last year, here we are again. This time it's Cal Bolin because Lamar puked up 5 interceptions against Houston, so he was looking for something. Well, if you can't handle Houston, at that time we didn't know Houston was going to be as highly ranked as right. they were. If you can't handle Houston, then we're definitely not going to put you up against Clemson. So Cal Bolin did an admirable job and was driving with about 3 minutes, 2 minutes left to win the game. You know, he gets sacked, we get a little back, and then we miss like a 30-yard field goal or something to tie it. It's 2017. And I look back at both those games, and I'm like, in both those games, we scored 17 points.
Yep. Right.
I mean, they play really good defense. So the question is, obviously Louisville's made the upgrade this year in what we feel is in execution, less turnovers, but Clemson's defense is definitely a very good defense. So what do we make of all this?
We sat here on episode 69.
Nice.
When we first talked about what our predictions were for the year and things like that. And I brought up then, you know, Bobby year one, you lose by 6. They're a pretty good football team. Bobby, year two, you lose by 3. They're the national runner-up. Mm-hmm. I thought then, I doubly think it now, we had so much more room to improve. You know, I mean, they were the national runners-up. I think they were pretty well peaking out.
Right.
We had so much more room to improve, and we've done that. We've shown that not only against Syracuse and Charlotte, and things, but, I mean, we beat the dog snot right out of Florida State, mm-hmm. who's not a bad football team.
Right. No one's ever hung 60 on Florida State.
Right. And so to think that Clemson, I mean, all due respect – that means I can say whatever I want to now.
Right, right. That's how this works.
All due respect to them. I mean,
trust tree.
Yeah, I'm really, really, really not all that intimidated by them. I mean, they're nice fans. They're going to let you share their tailgate and all that, but they're going to get an ass whipping. I mean, that's as clearly as I can put it. They're going to take it on the chin, or they're going to turn around and take it lower. But they're going to take it. And that's exactly what I'm looking forward to, and it's gonna be sweet. So
I kind of feel that way as well, and not just Clemson. I know that it's Clemson week, but I'll say this about any team in college football: unless you average at least 35 points a game, you are not going to keep up with Louisville's offense. It's not going to happen. I looked at Clemson today. I think they averaged 33.5 points per game. That's not going to cut it.
And that's with 59 coming against South Carolina State when they're turning right. around handing the football right. to the referee.
Right. That's not going to cut it. If you don't average at least 35 points a game and then expect your defense to have a standout game
right.
stopping Lamar Jackson and Louisville's offense, you are not going to win.
And one thing to remember, you know, because I'm more conservative. I'm glad that you all are instilling more confidence in what I think is going to happen. But I'm still more conservative. I'm like, you score 17 points 2 years in a row. They're the national runners up for a reason. They've got a great defense. You know, I think we can win. I think it's going to be close. I think they're going to hold us to a lower point. So I think we'll be like in the mid-30s is what we'll have. And our defense is very good. I think they'll just barely stop them short. That being said, they've never played or seen Lamar Jackson because they got Kyle Bolin last year. So this will be their first cut at what Lamar Jackson does on the field. They'll be witnessing it for the first time. And I guess I haven't really thought about that hard enough, that is an adjustment in all of it by itself.
Yeah, you can watch all the tape you want, but once you get on the field with a guy like that, it becomes real, and it becomes a nightmare real quick.
That's exactly right.
And you saw it on the Florida State
Absolutely.
Thing when they were saying, you know, here are all their explosive plays, here are all their chunk plys. Who makes that happen? And in unison, number 8.
Yeah.
You know, and
don't
so
look
they,
at that scoreboard.
Yeah, so they knew in game prep who they had to stop, and they couldn't. It's kind of like, I'm getting ready to come over and hit you with my right hand, and you see it coming, but there's not a ding-dang thing you can do about it.
Here comes the right hand.
All I can think when I watch this team play is Bobby is like two scenes from movies cut into my head. The baseball bat scene in Casino.
Right.
And when Ray Liotta just pistol whips the crap out of that guy in Goodfellas. And that feels like Bobby just looks at the whole schedule like, you're my pinata, Lamar's my bat, let's go do this.
Well, I know that Bobby said early in the season that there were some games that they paid a little more attention to in preparation. I think it was 4 games that he talked about.
3 or 4, he said, yeah.
Yeah, I think we know Florida State was probably one of them.
Yep.
Yeah. Houston is definitely
a big one.
Get that back.
Houston probably is probably bigger than Florida State, to be honest with you.
It is now.
Some of the hard feelings that were held there. I think Clemson is one, and if you would have asked me preseason, I probably would have said UK is one. I don't feel that way anymore. I think maybe they probably took that plan and threw it in the garbage, and they're looking elsewhere. I think they I think they've got their sights set on the postseason, to be real honest with you.
I would agree with you. Is every time that I want to get high on Clemson and say, you know, I don't know, man, this game really scares me. I think back to the Jameis Winston championship year when Florida State went into Death Valley on a Saturday night and dismantled them.
Right.
I mean, so if you got it, if you, what I've learned the last couple of years in watching college football is the game's changed enough that legitimately, if you do have the one special player, it can make all the difference in the world. Jameis was that guy for that Florida State team. Now, granted, there's a lot of talent around him.
Right.
There's a lot of talent on U of L's roster, but when you've got the freak,
right,
you can do a lot. You know, anything can happen.
Well, and you also look at, I mean, Georgia Tech. I mean, they didn't just absolutely destroy Georgia Tech, and you know what Georgia Tech's going to do. I mean, yep. You know, well, we really held them defensively. Who cares? I mean, it's,
yeah, you couldn't will yourself into the end zone.
Right. Well, you know, Georgia Tech is that one school that routinely wins 8 games, but they ruin somebody on their schedule.
Season. Right.
Yeah. You know, Florida State
last year with that crazy kick return touchdown.
Yeah, I mean, and I love when you see people, when you see the Twitter coaches who really, you know, like they've unlocked everything on Madden. Clearly,
right.
When you hear them say shutting down Georgia Tech's easy, all you need to do is pinch the edges and cover right. assignment gaps.
Yeah.
Well, that's like saying climbing Mount Everest is easy. All you do is put one hand over the other one.
Right.
You still have to get up that hill, though, and that's the difference between college and NFL. I know a lot of people say that they don't run the read option and they don't run options in the NFL because you're not going to put your $20 million quarterback out on a string. That's some of it, but it's also because when you get to that level, the defenders, they're not going to go work. You know, in college, you got guys that are going to go work in an office. In the NFL, you got speed, discipline, or you're gone.
Right.
So that's the biggest reason why the option doesn't work at the highest level of sport, of football, yeah. in my opinion.
That's you know? That's grade school, high school.
Exactly.
It is. And, you know, they always bite somebody. They're kind of like the Tommy Tuberville.
Yeah.
If you put Tommy Tuberville at Georgia Tech, they might win 10 games a year.
Yeah. Now there's one thing I do want to nice. There's one thing I do want to bring up. All right, so – you know, they got an injury to Hunter Renfrow. He is actually a very important wide receiver to them, a slot guy, that whole business. So that's a guy that, you know, probably part of the offensive struggles they're having here now, you know, as far as Georgia Tech's concerned. Also, they've had a lot of trouble with their line. They're doing a lot of rotating, and their coach said, yeah, we're doing that on purpose. So there's the question. Is he doing it on purpose because these are games that he can give offensive line reps that help him to the end of the year? And then when they play Louisville, he's like, well, here's our core offensive line because that's a real game. Because if that's the case, we may not get as much fun with that offensive line as the other teams have because they weren't quality opponents.
We were purposefully using that with our offensive line last year, too. I think we can all remember how much we were having fun rotating our offensive linemen in and out because, you know, just for shits and giggles. I mean, right. You know, I mean, that's – no, I mean they're playing that many people because they're bad.
Yeah.
They're playing that many people because they don't have a rushing average that is to write home about. You know, they're trying to find out what the answer is, and they don't know it, so it's like, hell, I don't know. You go run in there for a minute, and yeah. It's just
– slap a helmet on that bucket. Let's see what it can do.
Well, right.
You know, you practice like you play.
Yep.
You practice like you play. And some one position group that has to have cohesiveness is the offensive line. And that is not something that you do variable tests with and try to get experience with. If you have a starting offensive line, they stick together and they become one. When you start getting injuries or throwing variables and substitutes in there, you start breaking up cohesion with the snap counts and with the way the center calls out defenders and
slide
calls out
protection.
Formations. I mean, all those things are very important, and those people working as a team get to know one another. And when you are constantly rotating those guys in and out, it breaks up the unison.
And here's the other part of that question. If you were really concerned about what we're trying to experiment a little bit, what you would do is what Bobby's done this year. You'd get up by about 40.
Mm-hmm.
You'd pull the guys out, and you let the second guys get in there, and they'd get some work.
Yeah.
You know, that's how that's done. It's not, well, let's see. We've run for 3 yards the last couple plays. I don't know. Jimmy, you go do it. I mean, no, that's not how that works.
And speaking on what Drew said, and you're absolutely correct, Keith, it just screws with the continuity.
Right.
I mean – pulling and trapping is hard work. You've got to know this guy to the right of me. I know exactly what his foot placement is when we go to do a trap. And I'm going to pull and I'm going to ride off his hip, whereas I might be lined up with you. And I say, okay, he's a little quicker out of his stance, so I need to really be on my horse when we come out. I need to fire. Otherwise, this is going to blow up in our face.
Right.
You cannot do that when you're changing it out. It was frustrating last year. I think looking back on it, we can look at last season as a whole and view it sort of as the genesis of Bobby Ball with Lamar.
Right.
We took our lumps last year. Mm-hmm. Last year was very frustrating. So for everybody who's saying, I'm getting tired of Louisville feeling themselves, well, why in the hell shouldn't we be feeling ourselves? We got everybody in the country talking about us. We're the hottest product on the street. We got the hottest player in the street. Enjoy the hell out of it.
Yeah.
I know that Louisville's offensive line has caught a lot of flack the previous two seasons.
And rightfully so, right?
Well, yes, but you also have to consider that prior to Bobby Petrino coming back with Chris Klonakis as the offensive line coach, you had Sean Watson running his offense and,
right.
and Charlie Strong, and it was a completely different philosophy mm-hmm. with how the offensive line should be blocking and their scheme. So now Bobby comes in and he's running this spread offense and
with three different quarterbacks.
Yeah, with three different quarterbacks, and you got a brand new offensive line coach, and they're trying to teach a new scheme, and they're trying to teach zone blocking and some downfield things that Charlie Strong's offense was not running. So that's kind of a hard transition
exactly.
to make.
Right.
And the previous tenured coach, you know, they recruited towards that strength. Well, those may be big guys, and a lot of people watching the recruiting rankings, they see, you know, 6'3", 325 pounds. This guy's got to be a great offensive lineman. But if he is not skilled towards the offensive scheme that you're trying to run, then you've got a big guy.
There's right. a reason that Bobby has historically, even before he went to this offense, but he still does it, and it's probably even more deadly now in this offense, but there's a reason he recruits tall, big-bodied tight ends and converts them to tackles.
Right.
He wants guys who have exceptional footwork. And if you have quick feet, and I know that sounds like that sounds cliche and dumb, and that's a sports term, but y'all know what I'm saying.
Right.
It's important, especially when you've got an athletic quarterback like we've got. This is, again, right. remember what I said earlier about guys getting downfield to block. You can't do that if you're a 325-pound hog. And we yeah. don't play in the SEC, so we don't need to just have a 1,500-pound line yeah. that just bully balls everybody.
Just thinking about the offensive lineman says, I got to get 10 yards down the field to block for Lamar before Lamar gets 10 yards down the field. Right. It's got to be
what a challenge,
a nightmare in Man, their he head needs, as they're trying to execute a play.
He needs to cut so I can catch up.
Yeah. Well, I'm kind of excited about this game, as everyone else is. Gallman gave us a lot of trouble before, you know, and he just really hasn't had that much of a year. He's had Auburn, he ran a lot. He had over 100 yards against Auburn. Really, I don't think he's really gotten out of 60 yards much since then. And the other thing that I've kind of noticed about Clemson as I look back at their past games is when the game's close and it's feeling tight, they're throwing. They're not running actually right now. So those games that were closer, you'll see there's a lot more passing plays than rushing plays. The games that were not close, you see more rushing than passing.
And Deshaun Watson just hasn't seemed himself. I mean, from the apology to have to come out and apologize for, you know, the way his season's gone so far, and the expectations have been off the charts for him. So, I mean, a little bit of that's understandable. He's been running for his life, you know. Renfro, one of his best, you know, receivers, is out. It doesn't line up well for them against this Louisville team. And I heard you earlier say that you're more conservative and you're more yeah. cautious and think yeah. it's going to be closer. You know, I kind of kicked myself a little bit because I sounded probably super fanboy when we first started talking about our season predictions, and I said 11-1 then.
Me too.
You know, and I think you might have been 10-2.
Yeah.
You know, and you probably
13-0 guys.
Yeah, I mean, 13-0. We got to keep on rolling it up
yeah,
there. Yeah,
yeah,
we got a 15 game. Yeah.
I'll take 15-0.
Yeah, I'll take 15-0. But I mean, the bottom, and that sounds ridiculous because here you sit in week 4, and I get that. But you guys, point me in the direction of a team who's head and shoulders better than Louisville right now.
Well, the way Louisville's playing right now, the way Louisville's health is
right,
right now, I would put Louisville first against anybody.
Well, Ohio State scares me, quite frankly. They finally look like an urban – you know, we keep talking about Bobby Ball's back.
Yeah, but they got to get there too.
Yeah, they do. But Urban Meyer finally has put the speed
right
on that team, where position by position across the chart, it's all Florida kids, and it shows. And they are just gonna, I mean, he is gonna enjoy just mollywalking that lead footed league. It's like everyone else is playing, it gets timed for their dash with a sundial.
Right.
It's horrible football, and he's just gonna run wild over it forever.
Yeah.
And you know, it'll come down, I think, for the rest of, as long as those two are there, Michigan Ohio State will always be an undefeated matchup,
mm-hmm.
barring, you know, the occasional what the hell happened.
Yeah, right.
Which
can happen, you know, yeah. in college sports. I always tell people I never bet on college sports because after, you know, in my first collegiate match for tennis that I played, I was up till 4 a.m. drinking with friends, chasing tail. And it's like, these are kids, you know, they're out there and they're, they're partying and they're meeting women and they're doing all these things. They're not professionals. They don't get paid for this. They don't have the discipline. They don't have the consistency. So that's why anything can happen. And, you know, I agree. You know, I think Ohio State's out there. And, if you know, it was interesting to me to see Ole Miss clobbering Georgia. And I know Georgia's still suffering from preseason rankings because, you know, who knows where they should be.
Right.
But the reality is it just kind of opened my eyes again, because when Louisville was moving up after the Florida State, they're like, where was she going? I'm like, well, to me, it just depends on what people think of Mississippi. You know, Florida State beats Mississippi worse than Alabama, then you got to think, okay, where does Florida State, Alabama, Mississippi kind of fit in that equation? Because Louisville just beat Florida State so bad, you know, that, you know, it's on a TV show and they lost by 43 and then no one's hung 60. So just, you know, to me, watching Ole Miss do this to Georgia kind of reaffirms that when Louisville's playing well and if they're healthy, that they're a problem.
Yeah.
I think in the more near future with Clemson coming up, I don't see their offense being able to produce. I know we talked about points per game production, but I haven't seen anything that Deshaun Watson does that impresses me very much. I think he's been I hate to use the word hype because that's so cliche. I think he's been overbilled. I think that
pedestrian. Let's go with that.
Yeah, he is pretty pedestrian. And he's kind of crawling across the road, to be honest with you. They are functioning, but they're not functioning at a high level. On the ground, Gallman doesn't scare me. Doesn't scare me at all, especially not with Louisville's defensive front. And couple that with Clemson's offensive line issues. I think their biggest threat on the ground is Ray McCloud, who's basically their version of Trevion Samuel. He's very fast. He's a smaller guy. He can deliver a hit. But I also did notice that in the second quarter of their game against Georgia Tech, he came up with a limp and limped into the third quarter. I don't know if you guys saw any of that. So I don't know if he'll be 100%. I know that they had a little bit of an extra day to heal up. I think Ray McCloud is going to be the threat on the ground, not Gallman. I don't see Deshaun Watson as much of a threat. I really don't. I know I'm going to catch a lot of heat from some of my Clemson friends for saying that, but I'm not scared of him. I'm not scared of him at all.
You're allowed to have an opinion.
Well, let's talk about that. I mean, and I get that. They're going to think, who are these hayseeds up in Kentucky? You know, the Johnny come lately to big-time college football. You've strung four good games together. Now, all of a sudden, you think you have the right to walk in here and do whatever you want to. You know, you're going to piss on the furniture. I get it. Clemson fan, if you're listening, are you happy with where you are right now? I mean, if you're honest, the answer has to be no, because this is not what you build yourself as all off season. This is not, you know, we came in second place last year, but we're going to reload and we're going to – you lost seven guys off the defense, right? Seven starters from last year's defensive unit. Your offensive line looks like Swiss cheese or a sieve. You pick it, and your quarterback is running for his life, and he's not been – I mean – it's just not been, not only from the outside looking in, but if I was a Clemson fan, I wouldn't be happy with this.
Absolutely not. I mean, my question, Clemson fan, if you're listening, why shouldn't we be? I mean, you all have beaten us by a single possession the last two times we've played. Hasn't been a high-scoring affair. You've struggled against our defense. You've not played your best ball against us. You've kind of eked out wins, and that's fine. No matter how you get the W, just get the W. But I'm telling you right now, we're coming back, and this time we're going to put points up. And I just don't see them being able to score. Here's my John Madden moment. I just don't see a team that can score one more point than Lamar can.
Right.
Because if you see, you know, how he's got more touchdowns than most of FBS schools.
Than all.
Right. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, then
only Louisville's higher.
Right.
That's right. Louisville and, Michigan, I think, is the other one.
Yeah,
Michigan,
well, that's if you count defensive touchdowns.
Right, right.
So, I mean, with that being said, you know, the key to winning a game is to score more points than your opponent. I don't think anybody can outscore us right now.
Yeah.
You know,
well, I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah,
it's not been displayed yet.
And like I said about pick'ems, and you know, each week when it's time to pick the score, until somebody holds us under 50 or 60, I'm not predicting 40.
Right.
I got to see it happen before I say, oh man, I don't know, maybe we can be stopped, because I think we played as vanilla a game as we could have.
Well, and what gets me is Clemson fan, and their response to this is going to be, well, you guys haven't played a real defense yet. Look at the defenses that you've played. The defenses that you played sucked. Do you know why those defenses suck? It's because we hung 60 points on them.
Right.
So statistically, those defenses suck. You're
right.
Right. But they didn't suck before we started playing the game.
Right. Now, you know, to give Clemson some credit, they're averaging giving up 11 points per game. Louisville's averaging 22, but a lot of that's in the scrub time when Lamar goes to the bench. We know this, and the second team defense comes in and whatnot. As far as passing yard allowed, Cardinals give up 125 a game and 92 rushing. Clemson does. And that is better than Louisville giving up 156, 122. Again, it's a situation where we believe that the Louisville team is up by so much, you get those second and third stringers in, and the points start to happen. On passing, on offense, Louisville's number nine in the pass, number two in the rush, you know, mostly because you've got the combo of Lamar both and Brandon Radcliffe doing really well. Clemson on offense, and this is kind of where it really starts to separate, is number 20 at the pass, number 73 with the rush. So that means, you know, their strength's going to be the pass, not the rush. And so if you can guard them on one area because you know your front seven's already good, then they're not going to accidentally break the rush on you. And it's all about Bobby's scheming and executing well offense versus your pass, and now you got Hunter Renfrow out of the game.
So what you're telling us is that we can expect guys like Jair Alexander to have a big game. He's going to get a lot of balls thrown his way, and Devontae Fields and Hearns are going to be on it.
Well, and you look at Deshaun Watson, 9 touchdowns so far this year, 4 interceptions.
Yeah.
I like those numbers if I'm Louisville.
Yeah.
You know, and he's going to have less time Saturday night to throw the ball than any other time that he's had.
Yeah.
You talk about Clemson's defense and the fact that their scoring average is lower than Louisville's, and I get that. They're playing Georgia Tech, is for one,
yeah,
who's not an offensive juggernaut. I think they finally got the memo that the forward pass is legal.
Yeah.
You know, so you got Georgia Tech on one hand, and you've got South Carolina State on the other. So you bring both of those two in, well, that brings the average down considerably. I mean, mm-hmm, that's 7 points between those two teams. And then, you know, I can't say this enough, I'm really, really, really not concerned about Saturday night. I think it's just going to be another 3-hour infomercial. It's actually going to be longer than that. It's going to be an all-day infomercial.
Well, I will be down there to drink their beer and enjoy their tailgating and their hospitality, and I will give you a first-person report.
Yeah.
Drink their tears on the way out. That'll be there.
No, we will be respectful. We will be nice.
Yeah.
You know, I really do try to be the measured fan. You know, there's no doubt of who I cheer for, but I try not to be over the top. Oh, my team's a world beater, you know, and all that. I didn't huff and puff when we had Teddy because we were in the AAC and I knew it's just not going to happen.
Right.
And I don't know. And I, quite frankly, I didn't know. Do I really think that we could go just mop anybody with this team? I didn't know. I thought depth was kind of an issue that plays into playing the powerhouse programs. But we good, man. Like, we really good. And I don't want to be hyperbolic and I don't want to just constantly be, you know, pounding the chest. But why, again, why wouldn't we be?
Right.
We've got such a – I don't think there's anything wrong with fans being hyped up and being way over the top fans until we have a reason not to be. Right. Now, if we have a come down to earth moment, then we need to take a step back, look at it honestly, and say, oh, man, Bobby did a great job of hiding this for 4 games.
If right. they come back and do it to us like I don't think they will, I'll do my cane shades. I'll come in here and have my crow video. You know, that'll be fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that ain't going to happen.
I'll eat crow if it's served up to us, but I'm not going to dial back my energy for this team because, man, it was a hard year being a U of L fan, and
oh
we
God.
Made it.
Right.
So we deserved this.
Yeah. You're experiencing the other side, the deep breath. Exactly. You know, and the same thing with Teddy's group. It's like, it's not like we beat Florida State 63-20 along the way with Teddy's group. I mean, this is a different team, a different feel.
Well, I think culturally it's been difficult for your average U of L fan too, because in football, I mean, we're talking about a program that almost went away completely. And now you fast forward 30 years later, we're number 3 in the nation. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't look like anybody out there can stop this offense. And if you are, step up and stop them.
And truthfully, we're 3 in the nation without the best launching pad. Because I promise you, if we were a top 5 team at the start of the year, now Alabama hasn't done anything to necessarily detract, and Ohio State hasn't done anything necessarily to detract, but they've not done anything any more impressive than Louisville.
Right.
So if you're starting on equal footing, you can't look at the performance of those 3 teams and think, yeah, Louisville should be 3rd. No, Louisville is for real, and I'm not going to voluntarily back off that. I said 11-1, which is as far back as I'm going to do. I'm going to take that back now. So I'm looking forward.
Let's
to
do
it.
Some predictions, and before we cut it to dudes talking, Keith, what you got?
56-20.
56-20.
56-20.
Kind of like game day redo. Drew, what you got?
Well, I'm going to follow the averages. I think I like Louisville 60, and I like Clemson 33.5. Nah, we'll round down 33. So we'll say 60-33.
Okay.
I'm going to go 60-24. Like I said, I'm not backing off. I'm rounding 59 up, and I'm not saying anything lower than 60 until somebody proves me wrong.
And I'm going to be the worst one of the bunch.
17-12?
35-31, Louisville.
Only five touchdowns. Is that your halftime score?
9-6. Charlie Strong's back.
I'm going to say Clemson's defense.
Back to defense.
Is going to cause some problems, but Louisville ultimately wins. I'm so far off you guys, and I don't want to be right. I hope I'm so far off next week, and next week we can say, man, you were really off. You were so far off.
You're going to finally buy into this 60-point belief that I have?
Well, you know, I got to tell you, I sent out the tweet after the first two games, Syracuse and Charlotte. I said Louisville averages 66 points per game, so I can only assume that's what we will score against Florida State. Complete joke tweet. And then we score 63. I'm like, oh, I guess this is what we do. I don't know. But what can you do?
If we can finish the season averaging 69 points, I might explode.
That's right.
I seriously might
shut
just
the football
program
down.
Explode.
Until somebody stops them.
Yeah.
then we will.
Yep. But how nice would that be for a Bobby Petrino coach team to average 69?
Yeah. The win is the national championship. They shut the football program down. They say, we're done here.
Yeah, y'all, this is over. It's it.
This
we had a great run.
Outdoor hockey rink or something. I don't know what we're going to do with this place. Hey, we got a cool addition coming. All right. Well, that's it for this week's game of the week. So now we're going to cut to a little dudes talking. All right. So, you know, this is a segment where we really literally talk about anything. You know, we ran a little over for Game of the Week, so we won't make this a real long one because we all know y'all busy and got stuff to do, too. We appreciate you listening. And just let me plug real quick again, and I'll plug it at the end as well. Don't forget, you can set us up for immediate download on any podcast app that you have. We're on iTunes. We're on Stitcher Radio. We're on Google Play. We're on all the majors. So don't forget to look for the Crunch Zone podcast and set us up for immediate download. But until then, we got dudes talking. So what do you think, TBG?
You mentioned Star Wars. Is that what we're doing?
We can do Star Wars.
We can do whatever. Keith, now, do you watch Star Wars, or is this going to be just three dudes?
No, man. I mean, I'll just make fun of you and stuff. That's all right.
That's cool.
Okay. Well, I'd never seen Star Wars until the last year.
Yeah.
And it was during She Who Shall Not Be Spoken, when that stuff was coming out. I was like, man, our fan base is just getting kicked in the ribs left and right. What's something really dumb and funny that I could do that might, you know, like get people laughing, you know? And I realized I've never seen Star Wars. Mm-hmm. I played sports as a child. My dad didn't, you know, science fiction wasn't.
You've seen a grown woman naked, too.
Yeah. Yes. So I sit down and I watch them all in chronological order and came to the conclusion that if I'd grown up with the original three, I would, if I'd seen them when I was a child, I'd probably be like, holy cow, this is awesome. Watching it as a 33-year-old man, you're like, my God, this is lame. What are you all talking about? It's kind of like if you're an adult and you go watch The Goonies. You're like, this is terrible, but I will watch The Goonies every damn time it's on television.
Right.
You better believe that, and then I'll go look for treasure.
Yeah.
So I watched the first three, and then I'm like, I think I had the same thought everybody else did. Maybe the second ones that came out in the 90s, they'll have more special effects, they can do more lightsaber battles, it'll be better. But they were like chasing down a robot with AIDS, and they had all these like really just over-the-top, terrible lightsaber scenes, and I was like, this is just wet trash. They made a bad movie with Samuel L. Jackson. Who does that?
Right.
So I had very tempered expectations going into this new one. Man, it was awesome. Like, even if you've never seen a Star Wars, which if you haven't, don't bother watching any of the old ones. I promise.
I like the first three from the 70s and 80s.
Again, if you grew up on it, I totally get it. But watching it today, man, it's seriously difficult.
I'll come back to the Star Wars real quick, but A Few Good Men, that's a classic movie. If you go back and watch it now, all the synthesizer music will drive you nuts.
It's
amazingly bad. But
I take the uniforms drive me nuts.
And the uniforms, there we go.
My background, I pick out certain things. Certain things irk me in certain movies.
On A Few Good Men?
Tom Cruise being in the military at all. You know, that's maybe part of it as well. But you were mentioning, we were talking about this, that was the movie honoring the old ones,
right, with
the familiar scenes.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, everything. This is why I thought the new one was so cool. Because, first of all, the Skywalker clan, why are they all so emo?
Yeah.
Like, they're just whiny little shits.
Yeah.
And all of them except the women in the family suck. So you've got the new girl who's dressed like Luke. Rey, I think, was her name.
Right.
She's dressed very similar to Luke.
Right.
I don't know if y'all picked up on that.
And the little X-Wing fighter helmet and her little AT-AT teepee.
And there were a lot of scenes that were very reminiscent of the other, you know, the originals. Yep. So I was watching it, and I'm like, either way, it's cool, but I wonder if they were just straight up like, this is the formula for these movies, or were they appealing to nostalgia, or did they, you know.
Right.
What do you think?
Here's what I think, and this is, you know, it'll be ultimately revealed when the second movie comes out. But when he was coming out, the first thing he did, who's the director?
J.J.
Abrams.
He said, you know, I'm not necessarily going to go by the books. So yeah. Everyone who read all the books and spent their whole life memorizing every detail of a universe that does not exist is mad because they're like, well, I want to see this guy in a movie. I want to see this guy. This guy may not even exist. Han Solo could be a strip dancer. I mean, what are you going to do to these characters, right? You're going to flip everyone upside down. So, made everyone mad.
Okay.
Now, so he's got to, first of all, he wants, of course, keep the movies creative. He wants to be creative with it, not just do something that was already written. You know, because that is someone who creates things. It's like, I'm not creating anything. You know, you could have gotten an order taker for this. So he wants to keep that door open. But he doesn't want to lose all those Star Wars fans. So I think what he did was try to make it feel very familiar and adventurous, as the first one did, to make sure people are like, all right, I'll hang on. This was pretty good. I'll hang on for the next one. But I think the next one is where we're going to see his separation from that. From that style. I think then we're going to see what he wants to do with it. I think the first one was, hey, I'm sorry, everyone, but see, look, it's still Star Wars. It's cool. Check this out. Yeah. You know?
That makes a ton of sense, actually.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. But
time out.
Time out.
This is where it goes not safe for work. So if you're at work, turn your speakers down. Hit pause.
If we had a soundboard noise for that, we'll do that in the future.
But here's my take. Are you fucking serious?
Yes! 100%.
I mean, my God. This is unbelievable. We're adult men who are talking about football, and we're... Do you think the Ewoks will come back this episode? I mean, give me a break.
Man, it's somebody who didn't grow up... Again, somebody who didn't grow up reading comic books or watching science fiction, because my dad, again, was like, damn it, boy, here's a ball. Go outside and play. Yeah. They're an entirely separate thing to me. They're just action movies to me.
Yeah.
Like, I don't read the books.
Wait. What do you have against Ewoks?
Yeah.
I mean, they're cute, but...
I mean, they help save the planet.
Yeah.
Well, great.
I will say this. I think it was the end of Return of the Jedi and the Ewoks party and all that. It was might be the worst film scene in Star Wars history, where these adults were awkwardly dancing with these little Ewoks, and it would look like the worst party ever.
I bet if you take the costumes off of them, they're actually the little orange Oompa Loompas from Willy Wonka's Chocolate Factory.
Like the Russian dolls. And I mean, take the paint off of them.
They're Tyrion Lannister's wet dream. They're midgets upon midgets upon midgets, right? I mean, it is unbelievable that as grown-ups we're sitting around talking about Ewoks and robots. Bots and crap like that. I mean,
you can't say midget.
Man, you Keith, you were going to have some angry Star Wars nerds up in your mentions.
Bring it. And if you're a Clemson Star Wars nerd, especially bring it.
Yeah, I mean, some good angry little people Clemson fans.
Yeah, my word.
You might be a closet Star Wars nerd.
I might, yeah.
You seem really, you know, really angry about it.
I sat through the first Star Wars back in the 70s? Is that when it came out? And I was sitting there with my dad. When's the lightsaber scene going to be done? Just give me a... I mean, and I waited the entire time. When's the lightsaber scene? It's coming. It's coming. And then there was like 30 seconds of lightsaber scene. And that old man's dead. Well, now there you go. Now we're done. I mean, what a...
No, when I first watched it, too, I'm sitting there watching, like, how do people love this movie so passionately? Because I've been waiting for this damn lightsaber. It's really the only thing that I knew going into it was lightsaber, Ewok, and Yoda. Like that was the only lexicon terms that I knew. So I'm waiting for it, and I'm like, man, hold up. How come the Tin Man hits the old guy with the lightsaber and then he just turns into a sheet? Like, where'd he go? Like, do they vaporize you? Do they, like, how come other people get hit and they just get cut up?
It's like the Witch and the Wizard of Oz. Now,
totally.
I want to, well, keep it on movies because you were talking about something, a reference you made earlier to him about you've seen a grown man naked. Do you even know where that's from? See, he's younger than we are. So now you're throwing, you're being an old man and throwing.
But I wasn't saying a grown man naked. That's different.
Airplane.
Oh yeah, yeah. Airplane's one of those movies I watched when I was younger. It was funny. I just never have watched it again.
But it's the classic.
Are you sure that's the movie he was talking about?
Yeah, unless he meant it literally.
Well, there was that one time in college.
Yeah,
college was wild, man.
I needed the money.
Well, just sometimes, the movie with Tom Cruise I was talking about earlier, it's Star Wars was good because of the time it came out. So if you go back and watch Airplane now, if I go out and tell my wife, okay, she's 36, she's younger than I am, if I go watch Airplane, she'll watch, it's like, this is dumb. This is completely dumb. It's like, well, hold on. These are first-run jokes of all this, so you don't get to make fun of them because 90 people piggyback that joke for the last 30 years. They were the first ones to tell it.
Right.
And that's the problem with watching an old movie, and that's probably what you're saying.
Yeah, that's true.
People piggyback that movie 1,000 times. You're like, I don't get it. What's the deal?
I got so many more jokes once Vader tells Luke he's his father. I'm like, oh, everything makes sense now. Yeah. All these jokes that I've been seeing in movies and how on earth in life have I avoided this subject?
Yeah,
when that happened, I was like, oh shit, that took a turn.
Yeah. Your dad's a dick.
Yeah, no, I'm like, dude, he's such an abusive father. He cuts your freaking hand off,
right,
and then he basically like just tries to like force you into suicide using the force while you're sewing on your new robot hand.
Yeah,
like I'm just watching that movie. Like, I mean, my dad wasn't great, but. Yeah. Shit, he cut my hand off.
He was no Lord Vader.
Yeah, I mean, he took terrible parenting to the next level. The universe CPS really should have intervened in that family. They're just all messed up.
Right. There was a lot of things not in place for such a technologically advanced society. CPS.
How come none of them got cell phones? How come nobody got a cell phone?
No one has a cell phone. But they did have iPads, by the way. Because they always had the data pad, and they were always working on that. So they had iPads, but no way to call each other on a cell phone. I don't get it. It was like my dad always would say, watching science fiction is like watching the future. He's like, so there's a lot of things in there that you'll see later. And never did that come to fruition more than Blade Runner, when they had the call that turns on and there was a girl who was kind of naked and she made the wrong phone number. She's like, oh, I'm sorry, I meant to call someone else. I'm like, okay, that's Skype. That's, you know, that's stuff you're doing on Apple. And so, you know, I don't know. Maybe that's where the iPad came from. We're just going to go ahead and say Apple stole it from Star Wars.
Yeah, makes sense.
Total Recall, same thing.
Man, that's another movie you try to watch now. Oh, man, it's bad.
Get your ass tomorrow.
Is that the one with Quato right in the
middle? Yeah.
Which is the piece that lives on Frank Beamer's face, right?
Right.
Oh.
I mean,
shots fired. Start me another car.
I'm not trying to be rude.
You're not trying. You're flat out doing it.
I remember I remember the first time my grandmother ever saw Frank Beamer, and she was a retired nurse and just said, my God, that man has a potassium deficiency.
I don't think a banana is going to fix that.
It's like, Grandma, I think it's a goiter.
When you watch an old movie and it's like a clay robot thing because they don't have special effects, you know, it's like, what?
Okay, so
that when you go back and watch an old
movie? What's a movie that you loved back in the day? You tried to go back and watch it, and you're like, I can't do it. It's terrible. It's horrible, and it's now been ruined.
Yeah, I don't know about ruined, but there was a movie I saw when I was a kid that I tried to go back and watch again as an adult, and it. Howard the Duck. Did you ever see Howard the Duck?
Yeah, of course.
When I was a kid, I was like, man, this is cool, man. This is alien. Duck can talk.
Duck boobs.
That is the dumbest F-word movie you could possibly watch as an adult.
Thanks. You make me feel really bad.
Oh, was that your favorite?
No, I'm the one that said the F-word.
Oh.
Well, we respect, you know, we're respecting people around here. Apparently you're not.
Yeah.
All right, so Howard the Duck.
I'm going to go with Top Gun. As a kid, I thought that movie was awesome. You had that you know, like crazy, crazy soundtrack. Man, I tried to watch that in college and was like, this movie is homoerotic as hell.
Yeah.
Like,
it's got the same airplane blowing up, the same scene every single time an airplane blows up. It's like an F-5 painted with a red star on it.
I will say this, though. I do have a college buddy that whenever we run into each other in public, we don't even speak. We just do the Top Gun high five and keep walking.
Nice.
Like, if I run into him at a bar and everyone just looks, like, did they play sand volleyball together?
Well, and you know, they were trying to be cool the whole movie. And when you go back 30 years and watch what people tried to look like when they were trying to be cool in a movie 30 years ago, it's usually not cool anymore. That's the other thing that's funny with those things.
And you just stirred it in my brain. The only thing worse than Top Gun was Iron Eagle.
With Lou Gossett?
With Chappie Sinclair. You know, I can't fly worth a shit till I turn the radio on. Okay, oh, here we go. Oh, now it's on.
Yeah.
Let me give you guys a baseline first of all. Yeah.
Come on.
Fighter pilots are not that cool. They're actually not cool at all.
Yeah. So that was already. All right, so there's two movies I'll bring up that I think I have reservations about. Problem is I haven't gone back and watched it, but I'm just going to go ahead and take a bet. I'm going to put a $2 bet on this one. One is E.T. I'm pretty sure that going back and looking at a rubber garbage can with whatever was coming out of it in a face was probably going to look ridiculous watching that going back in time. And number two, I can't remember number two. It doesn't matter. Yeah, the first one was dumb already.
I'll tell you another real turd, Golden Child. I watched that movie so many times as a kid.
Oh, yeah.
I want the knife.
Bring me the knife.
Let him ask again.
Now, the redeeming factor in that movie, the redeeming scene that makes it worth your time of watching that terrible, like the worm lady, and just, it was so bad. But when the dude is in the airport and he yells, "My sweet brother Noomsy, come cleanse me, Noomsy. I have sinned against you and I must purge myself. Purge me, Noomsy." I love that scene. It's so ridiculous and over the top.
He's going to wipe that on your jacket there. It's going to freeze up and scratch you.
Yeah.
The funniest thing about all of this is letting your kids watch these movies. I mean, the movies that shaped you.
Yeah.
You
know, Check this out.
My son has seen Goonies. He's seen Airplanes. He has seen
Major League.
He hasn't seen Major League yet. He has seen, hold on a second, we mentioned one of them.
Full Metal Jacket?
He's seen the scenes from Full Metal Jacket. He's seen the boot camp scenes from Full Metal Jacket. He's seen Total Recall, you know, and it's like, you know, and I'm always questioning myself. I'm like, would I let my son, who's 13, would I let him watch this? And then I remember what I was doing when I was 13. I'm like, yeah, it's good. He's not smoking and drinking. He's fine.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, Total Recall. My wife will let him watch anybody blow up anybody from anywhere around the world. That's fine. Don't show a booby on the screen, or it's all over with.
Well, Total Recall,
there were three. I mean, it was like a buy two, get one free.
Gratuitous.
That's right. But Mom was in the other room, so it was like, yeah, we're all good. You
remember Joe Bob Riggs' drive-in theater?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. Showtime, wasn't it?
On Showtime That's After right. Dark.
Oh,
Joe
my God,
Bob Riggs.
I forgot about
he
that.
He would
yeah.
rate the movies based on
the boobs.
Nudity.
Yeah. Yeah.
Boobs and other
now,
things.
Now, I have a confession of just totally trash movies that are, they're horrible, but I watch them and laugh hysterically by myself on a couch if my wife is doing something else. Anything with Steven Seagal, my attention.
Yep.
Did y'all ever watch his reality TV show?
No.
He was very low-key racist, and would just anytime they saw a person of color, you would hear Steven Seagal say, "Watch his hands." And he would seriously jump out with like the yellow lens shooter glasses at nighttime.
Yeah.
Pull his gun.
Well, there's a Steven Seagal clip that I've always wanted to use in a highlight video, and I've never used it because it's always just so bad. I'm like, it would just ruin the video. It's like, the video is meant to be serious, or it's meant to be emotional, sort of this, and Steven Seagal literally ruins it every time. And it was a scene where he's like, "I'll take you to the bank. The blood bank." And it goes, choo, 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 and it like gets closer and closer and closer to his face and then shuts down. It's like, man, that was supposed to be a real tough line.
You should use the one-liners from The Running Man that Arnold Schwarzenegger did.
Yeah.
Where's the ice? Oh, he had to split.
Blow off some steam, Bennett.
Yeah. Take you to the blood bank.
Dude, I can't remember, because all of the titles to Steven Seagal movies are all interchangeable.
Yep.
I don't know if it was Marked for Death or Hard to Kill. But in one of them, when he wakes up from his coma, it's the one where he makes that
okay,
because he's in, when he gets shot, he got shot by the politician that says, "God, I know this."
Yeah.
That's terrible. He says, he tells everybody, and that's a guarantee, you can take it to the bank.
Yeah.
And when he gets out of his coma, he hears like the ad and he realizes, I've got to kill him.
Yeah.
So his training out in the desert is phenomenal. If you've never seen Steven Seagal sprint, go home tonight and look this up. He takes like the most teetered steps and is just like working his hands so hard.
Yeah.
And there's another scene where he digs a hole and buries a board, wraps rope around it, and just punches it all the time.
Yeah.
So I guess it's the Rocky version of Steven Seagal.
Yeah.
Well, Jean-Claude Van Damme, I hope you know he's back, and he's got a weird...
Did he really ever leave? Not our hearts.
I think
he just went to Canada for a while.
He went to Canada. He's wearing a hat the entire movie, so I have a feeling he has no hair, is what I'm thinking.
Is this a new Expendables?
There's nothing wrong with that, just so you know.
I don't, you know, I'm hanging on to what I got.
What, barely. Canada?
No, the hair.
That's right. Canada's fine. We don't have to make an international statement during this podcast.
Take off, eh?
All right. Well, I'm gonna put it into this train wreck. We've got to end this podcast. I've been having fun for sure. This would be even better with a bourbon, but we'll do it the way we did it. Folks, thanks for joining in. Hope you enjoyed the coverage. We got Marshall, we got Clemson, we talked dudes talking. We've got a big game with Game Day, obviously. Saturday night, 8 o'clock, ABC Game Day round two for us experienced Louisville fans. We're excited about that. Just don't forget, we can set us up for immediate download. We'll be out every Tuesday morning. You can get us on Google Play, you can get us on iTunes, you can get us on Stitcher Radio. So the Crunch Zone podcast, searchable. And we hope that you enjoy that every time. Keith, you got something for the Cards
fans? No, I'm good, man. Just 56-20. Clemson fans, it'll be okay.
All right, Keith.
Yeah, Drew, I've got one for you.
Drew.
Clemson, we really like your stadium, and we know that football is a religion to you. Saturday night, we're going to dance in your church.
Nice.
Yeah, we're basically, what we're going to do is, like, when you have a hostile overthrow of a government, we're coming in and we're, like, just going to destroy all of, if football is your church, we're tossing all your shrines down, we're busting up all your statues, like, we're going to wipe it from existence.
Clemson, we're going to take you to the bank. The blood bank. Once again, it's Mr. Light Skin from the city that don't sleep.